be with us, that your blessings would be here and your presence would always be here. We pray that we would strive to walk in your ways, to set an example that you would be proud of. We pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us and help our faith and our zeal for your word so that we would never faint within these evil days. Father, we thank you now. We give you all praise, and we ask all this in Yahshua's beloved name. Hallelujah. Amen. You may all be seated. I wanted to remind the youth. One of them came up to me. I completely forgot, so thank you to the one who approached me this morning about this. So here's the three points we're going to cover within the teen workshop. We'll cover a few more things, too, but the beliefs you're going to have to defend is, number one, the law is no longer required and is obsolete. So you're going to have to show why that's not true. The Sabbath was replaced by Sunday. Again, you're going to have to show why that's not true. And the last one here is the food laws are no longer needed. Pork and other meat that was unclean is now clean. So you're going to, again, have to provide an answer to defend your faith and show us why those things are not right. So as we heard in the announcements, the Passover and feast are just right around the corner. I think it's 17 days away. So right over 2 weeks, 17 days away. With this in mind, I wanted to give a review that I gave last year, same message for the most part, made a few modifications to it, but basically the same message. As most of you know, last year we made some changes in how we define leavening. And that's important this time of year because the Bible says what? The Bible says that we're to remove leavening from our homes. After an in-depth study over the span of several months, we came to realize that the Bible said something just a bit different from what we believed. So most of today's message is going to really focus on two words, and that's really what this comes out. Two words, one is chametz and the other is seor. We're going to be experts in seor and chametz before the end of this message, should be anyway. These are the Hebrew words where we derive leaven or leavening. Now, I want to begin today by explaining why we embarked upon this journey. What led us to review this topic? For years, we believed that a leavening agent alone, like yeast, was leavening from a biblical standpoint. But there was one passage that seemed to contradict this notion and, again, motivated us to look just a bit deeper. So I'm going to begin there today, Leviticus 23, verse 13, real important passage. 23:13, it says, a meat offering, or a grain offering, really, thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, it says, wine, the fourth part of a hin. Now we see here a reference to the first fruits offering. When did this occur? When does this happen? Or this happens during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Specifically, we know that it happens on the morrow after the Sabbath during Unleavened Bread. Now when we say morrow after the Sabbath, this is basically saying the Sunday within the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now what is prohibited during this time? What is prohibited during the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Where the answer should be obvious to all those here, and that is leavening. Leavening is prohibited. We're to abstain from leavening during this time. As I've already shared, historically, we've always defined leavening as a leavening agent alone, like yeast or baking soda or any other leavening agent. From this passage, though, we find an issue with this definition because it says here that wine was used during the feast, during again first fruits offering, then this Omer offering, they used wine. As most of you know, wine is produced with what? Wine is produced with yeast. Now, whether we put yeast within it or we let it ferment naturally, it is yeast that produces wine. And again, for this reason, it's also our position that wine was our position, that wine and other alcohol should be, must be removed during the feast. But again, we see here that wine was used when? Wine was used during the first fruits offering during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So if yeast alone is to be prohibited during the feast, what do we see wine? Now some may ask, is the wine mentioned here really wine? Maybe it's grape juice. Maybe it's something else. Where the Hebrew word here is yayin. Strong's defines this word as wine as fermented by implication, intoxication. So fairly clear from that definition what this is. It's wine. It's wine that produces intoxication, which means it is fermented, which means that yeast is present. The Brandreva Briggs Hebrew Lexicon also defines this word, and it just simply says wine. So it is wine. Based on this, we know that yayin is referring to wine that is fermented, which again means that yeast is involved. So how do we reconcile the belief that a leavening agent alone is considered leavening? So like yeast or baking soda or whatever leavening agent it might be would be considered leavening from a biblical standpoint. Well, the answer is we can't. We can't. You know, just as a side note, I think this the fact that we shifted and we took the time to study shows that this ministry really has a desire to get things right. And we really want to understand what Scripture says. And again, we were presented with an obstacle. We dug in, we understood the topic, and we found that there was more to it. So yeast alone is not leavening based on what we find from Scripture. And again, this is why we embarked upon this study. We went back to the Hebrew. We reviewed every instance of where leavening or leaven is was found within Scripture. This involved every instance of the Hebrew words siur and kametz, the words used for leavening within Scripture, within the Old Testament. To understand leavening, we must understand the meaning of these words. I want to begin the in-depth study here in Exodus 12, verse 15. Now, we find in this passage both a reference to seor and kametz. So Exodus 12, verse 15, it says, 7 days shall eat unleavened bread. So this is a reference to unleavened bread. It says, even the first day you shall put away leaven. Now, the word leaven there is seor, out of your houses. For whosoever eats anything, eats leavened bread, now it's kametz. You know, interestingly, I knew these words existed many years ago, but never really made it a point to understand the distinction between these words. And there's a big distinction between these words. Seor means something different from kametz. They're related. One produces the other, but they are not the same. They're not the same thing. And we'll explain this as we go through. But it says, from the first day until the seventh day, that soul or that person shall be cut off from Israel. This passage, again, is referring to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. During this time, it says that we're to put away the leaven or seor from our homes and abstain from eating leavened bread or kametz. So again, we're to remove the seor and we're to abstain from the kametz. Notice that both seor and kametz, again, are used within this passage. And again, we're to remove both from our homes. We're not to eat. We're not to have these within our dwellings. I want to point out also here that it specifically mentions eating. It's one of the revelations we had as we went through this. The focus is always on eating. Nothing is said here about drinking. In fact, as we'll see from all the other examples, kametz is always connected with eating food. It's never connected with drinking. It's always with eating. I want to focus now on the meaning of seor. So we're going to do a deep dive into the meaning of seor, what it means, what it is, and then we'll focus on kametz after we're done with seor. So let's take a deep dive into seor. So Strong's defines seor as barm or yeast cake as swelling by fermentation. So as we see here, Strong's defines seor two ways, barm and then like a yeast cake. For those not familiar with the meaning of barm, the Collins Dictionary defines this word as, quote, the yeast foam that appears on the surface of malt liquors as a ferment. So you can take that foam and then you can produce kametz. You can leaven bread with that foam. Now, the main thing here is the yeast cake. That's what we generally would see from a scriptural standpoint. So what is the meaning here of a yeast cake? Well, this is reference to a sourdough starter. And this is how Israel would have leavened their dough in ancient times. They would have used a sourdough starter, and they would have used that sourdough starter, that seor, to produce what we would call then chametz, or leavened bread. So that's the distinction, by the way, of those two words. One is the starter seor. Chametz then would be the product that was produced from the seor. Does that make sense? Seor is, again, is that sourdough starter. Sourdough starter is used to produce chametz, or the bread. I want to consider now some more meanings, definitions for seor. This is from the Fawcett's Bible Dictionary. It says, seor, a lump of old dough in high fermentation. Notice, high fermentation, it's acidic, or sours. Making it and leavening bread with it took time. Unleavened bread was used. So we see that seor refers to an old piece of dough that is what? It is high fermentation. So this would refer to sourdough or starter dough, something that was very sour. I don't know if you've ever smelled a starter dough. It is very sour. It is very acidic. And that's what we're talking about here. Seor is not chametz. You see, there's nothing sour normally about chametz, but there is something sour about seor because this is the starter dough. It's a piece of dough that is allowed to ferment to the point of becoming acidic and then used to leaven the loaf of bread. And again, that is how Israel would leaven bread from an ancient standpoint. Now, from a scientific standpoint, how does this process work? Number one, it's important to realize that wild yeast is all around us and even within us. You know, those who believe that we can escape yeast during the feast, they don't understand yeast. Yeast is all around us. Yeast is in the air. Yeast is within us. There's no way to really avoid yeast. Yeast is here. Number two, a starter is formed when the yeast breaks down the starch and the flour into sugar, and then that produces carbon dioxide. And then that carbon dioxide, it causes the bread to puff up. And that's the leavening. That's the leavening of the bread, that carbon dioxide, again, from that sugar, from that starch within that flour. In fact, the word leaven is from the Latin, which means to rise. That's what it means. So we receive the word leaven from the Latin, which again means to rise. And again, what allows for this to happen is that starter dough, the dough that is in high fermentation or that contains a high concentration of yeast. So when we speak about seor, from a biblical or a historical standpoint, what we're referring to is a starter dough. Again, this is how the Israelites would have leavened their bread or their chametz. I want to look at a few more definitions of seor. The next definition here is from the New Unger's Bible Dictionary. It says there the Hebrew term seor occurs five times in Scripture, in four of which it is translated leaven, and in the fifth, leavened bread. So generally speaking, we find within Scripture, within the translation, that it is rendered leaven. The NIV translates yeast in each of these references. This probably denotes a small portion of dough left from the preceding baking and had high fermentation, or had fermented and turned acidic. Its distinctive meaning is fermented or leavened mass. So from this, we again find here the seor refers to what? Seor refers to the starter dough, refers to that piece of dough that is very acidic and high fermentation that would then be used, again, to produce that chametz or that leavened bread. Now we find another definition for this from the Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. It said of seor, says a substance used to produce fermentation in dough and make it rise. In Bible times, leaven was usually a piece of fermented dough retained from a previous baking that was placed in the dough, new dough, to cause it to rise. So what do we see here? We see again that seor refers to that starter dough, and that starter dough then would be placed within the dough of the new loaf, and that starter would then produce leavening, or would puff up that bread through the concentration of yeast or leavening. A few more references here. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. I want us all to understand the meaning of sear. It's so important that we understand the meaning of these words. So this reference says, in bread making, the form of leaven used in bread making and the method of using it were simple and definitive. The leaven consisted always, as far as the evidence goes, of a piece of fermented dough kept over from a former baking. So they would take a piece of dough, they would take a little bit off, and they would keep that back I hear some echo or feedback. We're working on it. Okay. A lot of technical issues today. Continues to plague. I don't know if we can find Lucas, maybe, but somebody. Anywho, so where were we? I'm going to just start over here. It says, in bread making, the form of leaven used in bread making and the method of using it were simple and definite. The leaven consisted always, as far as the evidence goes, of a piece of fermented dough kept over from a former baking. There is no trace of the use of other sorts of leaven, such as a lees or wine, or those mentioned by Pliny. The lump of dough thus preserved was either dissolved in water in the kneading trough before the flour was added, or was hid in the flour and kneaded along with it, as was a case mentioned in the parable, Matthew 13, verse 33. The bread thus made was known as leavened, as distinguished from unleavened bread. So again, we see here that leavening, or sear, refers to what? Sear refers to that sourdough, refers to that starter dough, refers to that piece of dough that was very acidic or sour. According to what we find here, there were two ways in which they would leaven dough with sear. Number one, they would dissolve this sear, this starter, within water, and then that would be, and then add flour to that. The other method, which was probably more common, was to take the starter and simply place it within the new dough. Either of these two methods would leaven a new piece of dough, causing it to rise, thus producing what? Producing chametz. So the sear would produce the chametz. And again, this was done either using the starter, which was, again, highly fermented, acidic, that would be included within the dough. So for good measure, one more source here. I'm sorry for all these references, but it really is important that we understand the meaning of this word. This is from McClintock and Strong, Biblical Encyclopedia, one of the best references, really, we have out there. It says, sear occurs only five times in the scriptures, in four of which it is rendered leaven, and in the fifth, leavened bread. It seems to have denoted originally the remnant of dough left on this preceding baking, which had fermented and turned acidic. So according to the reference here, chametz is sear. And what we find here is that sear, again, is that portion of leavened dough that was kept back and allowed to turn acidic or sour. You know, based on what we learn through these references, what do we know about sear? Well, we should all be experts by now in sear. I've read maybe, 10, 20, 30 references, it seems, but we should all be familiar, we should all be experts, and that is sear is that starter dough. Sear is that initial piece of dough that would be used to produce chametz. Sear is that piece of dough that was in high fermentation. Sear was that piece of dough that was highly acidic or sour. And again, if you ever come in contact with sour dough, with a starter dough, you can smell it, and it is very sour. And that's what the ancient Israelites would have used to produce chametz. Now, I want to move on now and talk about chametz. What is it? What does Scripture say? What does scholars say about this? So here's how Strong's and the Brown Driver Briggs defines this word. Chametz, so it says, ferment, extortion, leavened bread is how it's defined based on Strong's. And the Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew Lexicon defines this word of saying that which is leavened. And we see some evidence, some additional references here. It says forbidden at Passover, in all sacrifices. So exceptions are peace offering and the wave loaves. And we'll talk more about the wave loaves and the peace offering as we go through this message. But what do we see here about chametz? We see here, number one, that it refers to leavened bread. So a seor refers to what? Seor refers to that starter dough. Chametz refers to the actual product that you produce from the seor. So in this case, that would be leavened bread. We also see here that it was forbidden during when? It was forbidden during the Passover, and also forbidden during the sacrifices we find within the Old Testament. There were two exceptions. One was for the peace or fellowship offering, and we'll talk more about this. And the other one was for the loaves, the two loaves that were offered during the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost or Shavuot. So on those two instances, leavening was required. But for all the other instances, leavening was removed. Leavening could not be within a meat offering or grain offering, and it could not be within the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So from this, again, we see a distinction between chametz and seor. Chametz would be the leavening product that would be produced from the seor or for that starter dough. Now, I want to, again, look at the Encyclopedia Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical literature on how it defines chametz. So it says this, ought not to be rendered leaven. Notice that. So when we're speaking about chametz, it says here that this should not be rendered leaven. Why? Because it says, but leavened bread. Because it's not leaven. It's leavened bread. It is what we produce from the seor. Seor is leaven. Seor is that starter dough. Seor is that piece of dough that, again, is highly fermented or acidic or sour. But we take that dough and we ferment that dough, and then we produce what is called chametz. That is why it is leavened bread. Goes on to say, but seor and chametz occur together and are evidently distinct, so they're different. Unleavened bread, matzah, shall be eaten during the 7 days, and there shall be not be seen with the fermented bread, chametz, seor, and all thy borders. So they understand the distinction there. And it's important that we understand the distinction. According to this reference, chametz is not simply what? It's not simply leavening, but it's leavened bread. It's a leavening product. It's, again, leavened product that is produced from the seor. The main example of this is what? The main example of that you leavened bread. That's what we find scripturally. It does not refer to, or it's not used in other ways. So it's, again, important that we understand this distinction between these words. Now, when we think of seor, we should think of sourdough. And again, when we think of chametz, we should think of a leavening product. Scripturally, leavened bread. Now, how did the Jews understand chametz? I want to look at a reference here. This is from Kabbalah.org. And the meaning of chametz, also spelled chametz or chometz, depending on the rendering. But it says any food product made from wheat, barley, rye, oats, or spelt, that is, come in contact with water and been allowed to ferment and rise. Notice it doesn't mention, by the way, yeast. Why does it not mention yeast? Or the answer is simple. Yeast is already here. And that's why if you put water with grain and you let it sit, that yeast within the ear will ferment that dough, and inevitably you will have then chametz, or bread. So it says here that chametz is any food product that is produced from a grain, again, that has been come in contact with water and then allowed to ferment, and again, it would ferment from the ear, from the yeast within the ear. Based on the Jewish understanding of leavening, we find here that four things are needed for something to be considered chametz. So this is what we should be removing from our homes. Number one, it needs to contain grain. So what is grain? According to how the Jews define grain, it would either be wheat, barley, rye, oats, or spelt. Now, they've kind of changed the agriculture, but from a biblical standpoint, what is the first grain of the year? Well, that'd be barley. So what's the second grain of the year? More that the main crop would be wheat anyway, so wheat. One is during Passover, one is during Feast of Weeks or Shavuot or Pentecost. Now, anymore, the wheat and barley almost grow together, so it's not quite what it was from an ancient standpoint, from a biblical standpoint. But it would have to contain wheat or grain, which would be wheat, barley, rye, oats, or spelt. It also needs water. That'd be number two, needs water. Number three, needs time. It needs time. And it also needs a leavening agent. Now, of course, we've already made mention of this. A leavening agent is already here. All they need to do is add the flour with the water and let it sit. And Yahweh has engineered such a way to leaven that dough. Now, according to the many Jews, I'm not sure all Jews, but many Jews, from what I can tell, it takes supposedly 18 minutes, right over 18 minutes for the dough to leaven. That's the number. So if you have some flour and you put some water in it and you let that sit for 18 minutes, according to the Jews, you have now chametz. Now, I don't know if it's 18 minutes or not, but the point is eventually it will ferment and you will produce chametz when you bake that flour with that water, with that yeast within the air. Now, again, because chametz requires all of these items, a leavening agent alone is not considered chametz. And that's the key. You see, if yeast was considered chametz, where, of course, we have the wine issue, we know that wine was used during unleavened bread, so yeast cannot alone or by itself be considered chametz or seor. So a leavening agent alone, like yeast or baking soda, is not considered seor or chametz. I want to read from Wikipedia. It actually has a pretty good reference here on the meaning of chametz. It says, chametz is a product that is both made from one of five types of grain and has been combined with water and left to stand raw for longer than 18 minutes. So if it's 19 minutes or more, or supposedly you have chametz, it says according to most opinions, and becomes leavened. Leavening agents such as yeast or baking soda are not themselves chametz. Notice that. So leavening on its own, baking soda on its own, is not considered seor or chametz because it is not a leavening, it is not a starter dough, seor starter dough. And then chametz is a leavened product that is produced from seor. And yeast on its own is neither. So yeast is not considered seor, yeast is not considered chametz. It says rather it is a fermented grains. It's the fermented grains, and the emphasis should be on the fermented grains. And we've historically, we've always put the emphasis on the leavening agent. But the emphasis should be on the fermented grain. If the grain is fermented with the leavening agent, whether that be yeast, whether that be baking, whatever it is, now we have seor, we have chametz, depending on the process and where it's at. So it's thus yeast may be used in making wine during the feast. So from the source, we again see the chametz is when grain is combined with what? Combined with water and then allowed to ferment for more than 18 minutes. So if it's 19 minutes, according to the Jews, now you've just produced chametz because you've added water, you've added grain, and you've allowed the yeast to ferment that grain. We also see here that a leavening agent like yeast or baking soda is not considered chametz. It's also not considered seor. Because again, seor is a sourdough starter. Seor would contain both what? It contained the flour, the grain. It would contain water. It would contain a leavening agent. So a leavening agent on its own is not considered seor chametz. It is not considered leavening from a biblical standpoint. I want to move on now and from the definitions. We've done a lot of definitions up to this point. I want to look at what Scripture says. What does Scripture say? What do we see within Scripture about seor and chametz? So I want to first focus again on the meaning of seor. Seor only occurs just a few times within Scripture. So let's look at the instances. We've already seen one. It's five times total. We're going to see the other four instances. So Exodus 12, verse 19. It says, 7 days shall there be no leaven, no seor. And again, what that's saying is that there should be no starter dough within our homes, found in your houses, for whosoever eats, notice there eats, doesn't say drinks, eats, that which is leavened, even that soul, that person, nephesh is that word, by the way, doesn't mean an immortal soul, means a person. That's how nephesh is understood in the Hebrew. Nephesh, soul, shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether it be he be a stranger or born in the land. In other words, it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's an Israelite or whether it's a visitor. If they're there in the land, it needs to be removed. Exodus 13, verse 7 says, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. So you see, we're to eat leavened bread also. It says, and there shall no leavened bread, and that's chametz, be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seor. So we're to remove the chametz, the leavened bread, and also the seor, the leaven, the starter dough, seen with thee in all thy quarters. Leviticus 2, verse 11, it says, no meat offering. Now, the word meat offering is a bit confusing. It's very confusing. It has nothing to do with meat. It's Old English. It means grain. This is a grain offering. And it says, no grain offering which you shall bring unto Yahweh shall be made with leaven seor. So you cannot take a grain offering and use a starter dough to leaven that offering. For you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in any offering of Yahweh by fire. So these are the instances we find of seor within Scripture. Now, just real quick, I want to go back briefly here. The word quarters in verse 13:7 of Exodus, that comes from the Hebrew gabol. And a gabol refers in Strong's to a person's boundary, refers to a person's territory. So it's not just our homes. Whatever we own, I know some people, I've heard of some people, they'll rent a storage unit. And they'll put their leavening in a storage unit. And then after the feast, they'll come back and they'll gather their leavening. And that's wrong for a multitude of reasons. Number one, the whole point of removing leavening is, from a spiritual standpoint, we're to remove the sin. Well, we don't remove sin from our lives and then bring it back in. So we're not to do that. So don't rent a storage unit, as some do, and put your leavening. The Jews, some of the Jews, not all the Jews, but some of the Jews, they will sell it to a goyim or Gentile or someone non-Jew, and they will buy it back then after the feast. Well, again, the point is that we're to get rid of it, and we're not to take it back in. It's like removing your sin and saying, no, we're going to take that sin back in. So Scripture says that we're to remove it. Quarters, again, gibel, and refers to our boundaries, our territories, everything. Okay, so let's move on to chametz. Chametz occurs 13 times within the Old Testament, 12 times in the Torah, and once in the prophets. As the seor says, and there shall be no leavened bread. And really, what should that be? That should just be leaven. Because it's not leavened bread. Leaven. Seen with thee in all thy coasts 7 days, neither shall there be anything of thy flesh which thou sacrifice the first day at even remain all night until the morning. And that'd be in reference to Passover. But here we find again that it says that the coast, now the word coast is in Gebel. And again, just simply means our quarters, our territories, anything we own, that seor should be removed. Okay, going back to now to chametz. So the first, and I'm going to go through these a bit slower here. So Exodus 12, verse 19 says, 6, 7 days shall there be no leavened seor found in your houses, for whosoever eats that which is leavened chametz, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. So again, it doesn't matter who you are. So what do we learn here about chametz? We see here that we're not to eat chametz, but we're to eat unleavened bread. We're to eat matzah during the 7 days of this feast. Now, what is the penalty for those who ignore this command? What does Scripture say for those who simply see this is optional? Where Scripture says that for those who ignore this command, for those who refuse or deliberately neglect removing the seor or the chametz, that they will be cut off from the congregation. That's a fairly serious penalty. So as believers, we need to be careful. We need to make sure that we remove the seor and chametz from our homes, that we remove the starter dough. Many of us don't do this anymore. My mom did it, by the way, when I was small. She made bread, and she would always have a starter dough, and it was kind of amazing in many ways, but we're to remove that, along with any chametz or leavened products. Now, again, before moving on, I want to emphasize just one more point. It focuses here on what? It focuses here on eating. eating. Again, nothing here is mentioned about drinking. And the reason is again, commits is leaven of bread, not leaven drink. Okay, let's go to Exodus 12, verse 20. It says, and you shall eat nothing leavened, commits. In all your habitations that show you eat unleavened bread. So again, we find here, and as we found in verse 19, we're to abstain from eating chametz. We're to abstain from eating anything leavened during this feast. And also, I wanted to share with you, so some may say, maybe there's not a Hebrew word for drink, because I keep focusing here on the fact that it focuses on eating. There is a word for drink. There is. And that word is shakal, and it's never used. We never see shakal in reference to seor chametz. It's not used. It's always the word for eating. Anyway, we'll move on here. Exodus 13, verse 3. It says, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand Yahweh brought you out from the place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Again, chametz. So during the feast, we're to abstain from leavened bread. Exodus 13, verse 7 says, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread, chametz, be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven, seor, seen with thee in all thy quarters. A few things I want to point out here. Number one, it says that we're to eat unleavened bread during the feast. I think I've already made this point, but in contrast to removing and abstaining from leavening, there's also a command that we eat leavened bread. And there's a reason for this. You see, there's a great spiritual lesson with this feast. Many people, they just focus on the physical. They focus on the leavening, on the food. But there's a great spiritual lesson here. And that lesson is, as believers, we're to remove the sin. We're to remove the hypocrisy. We're to remove that which offends Yahweh, represented again, defined scripturally, defined unleavened bread. So that's the reason why Yahweh says to do this, I believe. It's not just about leavened bread or unleavened bread. It's about what these items represent. So going through the physical, we realize that we're to remove the sin, right? And that we're to take in the sincerity and the truth of Yahweh's word, the mess. Neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. So again, as we saw from the Brown Driver Briggs, we see here that no leavened bread or chametz would be or should be used in what? In an offering to Yahweh. So Yahweh says, don't use this if you're coming before me as an offering. Two exceptions again, what are those? So the one would be the shavuot, the loaves offered during Pentecost. The other would be for the peace or fellowship offering that we also find through Scripture. Exodus 34:25, it says, thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with 11 chametz, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning. Again, this is simply referring to the sacrifices, saying that we should not use leavening or leavened bread within our sacrifice. Leviticus 2, verse 11 says, no meat offering, and again, meat offering is grain offering, which ye shall bring unto Yahweh shall be made with leaven, and ye shall... for you shall burn no leaven, a seor, nor any honey, in any offering to Yahweh made by fire. Now again, a better name is for the meat offering is a grain offering. We've talked about that. Now we also see here a reference to honey. Honey. Some believe that honey is a leavening agent or a leavening product. I don't believe this scripturally. I mean, there's nothing to say that we're to remove honey during unleavened bread. And honey of its own is not considered seor chametz, but honey will expedite the leavening process. But it's not a leavening agent. So again, there's no need to remove honey during the feast. Honey is not a leavening agent, but it will expedite the leavening process. Well, let's continue on here. Leviticus 6, verse 17, it says, it shall not be bacon or baked with leaven chametz. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as is the sin offering and as the trespass offering. So we find here two mentions of offerings. Number one is a sin offering. Number two is a trespass offering. What are the differences between these offerings? Well, the sin offering was for unintentional sin. Many people that don't realize this, The sin offering was for an intentional sin. The trespass offering was for intentional sin. So one is for unintentional, one is for intentional. Notice here that though with both, that if somebody brought a meat offering or grain offering or a cake of some sort, that it had to be without leavening. That it had to be without chametz. And we also see here that chametz is connected with what? It's connected with a product that is baked. So it's food. It's not drink. It's food. Now we see a few more examples in Scripture. Next one here is Leviticus 7:13. It says, besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread. Again, leavened bread, chametz. With the sacrifice of thanksgiving or of his peace offering. So we find here something different. It says here specifically that they were to do what? It says here specifically that they were to offer leavened bread. But this was a different offering. It wasn't the sin offering. It was a trespass offering. This offering was a sign of fellowship with Almighty Yahweh. And during this offering, we find here Scripture says specifically that the Israelites were to add leaven. So leaven of its own is not a bad thing. You know, some people, they believe that leavening or chametz or seer is always negative. Or we see here an example to say otherwise. Because this was already said and commanded to use leavening. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Scripture doesn't say that. It's conjecture. But it kind of makes sense that because leavened bread would be the common bread, that for this specific offering, which was an offering of thanksgiving and a fellowship with Yahweh, that he would command leavening. Anyway, for whatever reason, we find leavening, though, with this offering. Next example is Leviticus 23:17. It says, you shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with what? With leaven, with chametz. They are the first fruits unto Yahweh. So as we saw in the previous passage, we see here again that leavening or chametz was to be used. It was commanded for these offerings. Now, what is this? For these were the two loaves that were offered during Pentecost or Shavuot. As we saw in the previous example, we see here that leavening or chametz is not always bad or negative. We see that it was required in these two instances. Okay, two more examples here. Deuteronomy 16:3, it says, thou shalt eat no unleavened bread, chametz. With it, 7 days shall thou eat unleavened bread therewith. And we've talked about that, the distinction of why we're to eat unleavened bread and then to remove the leavening during this time. It says, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. Now, this is referring to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And again, during this time, we're to remove the leavening, the seor and the chametz, and we're to then eat the matzah or the unleavened bread. So one more example here, Amos 4:5, it says, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Again, this is a peace offering. With leaven, it says, chametz. And proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O you children of Israel, says my sovereign Yahweh. So again, we see a reference to the peace offering, and that leavening was required in this case. So we've looked at a lot. We've looked at a lot of definitions and commentaries and dictionaries and now passages where these words occur. And again, we spent several months. We had a team of 4 to 5 men originally, and we spent several months digging into this. Sometimes you really have to get into the detail. And to understand this, or we have to get into the detail. So I want to review now some of the highlights that we've heard. So number one, in the Old Testament, the word seer is found how many times? 5 times. Not many times, 5 times. And the word chametz is found 13 times, referring to the sourdough starter and leavened bread, respectively. So as I can find, anyway, chametz is always in reference to leavened bread. I do believe it can be extended beyond that. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. And again, the word seer would refer to that starter dough. During the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we're commanded to remove all sea urn commits from our homes or boundaries. During this feast, we're commanded to eat unleavened bread and to abstain from eating leavening or leavened bread in the form of sea urn commits. And again, I want to emphasize, it is eating. It is eating and not drinking. And lastly here, except for the peace offering and the two wave loaves offered during Shavuot, all other offerings did not allow or commits was not to be used within a sacrifice or offering. Now, knowing all of this, what do you suppose an ancient Israelite would show us if we said, hey, show us what you mean by seor. Show us what you mean by chametz. I don't understand these words. Show us what you mean by these words. Or I believe here's what they would show us. They would show us, maybe not a glass jar. I don't think they had glass jars back then, but they would show some seor. They would show a sourdough starter. And then they would show for chametz, they would show leavened bread. I believe that's exactly and precisely what they would show us from an ancient standpoint. So from all of this, how would we define a seor from a biblical perspective? So here's two definitions we have. One is for seor. So we define seor based on the evidence as a piece of highly fermented or acidic dough or any other grain-derived leavened product that might be used to leaven dough, much like our own sourdough starter. Makes sense? It's just a starter. It's something that we can take and we can put within flour and water that would leaven that dough. And if that item leavens that dough, or that item then would be seor. Now again, historically, that seor would have been the starter dough. It would have been an old piece of dough that they kept back that became, again, acidic, sour, highly fermented, however we want to describe it. And then it would have been used to leaven that next piece of dough. So that would be seor. Chametz would be any grain-derived food product that has been leavened by seor or a leavening agent, whether that be natural or chemical. Now, I say chemical because many of the most of the leavening agents out there are not natural. They're chemically based. But they still do the same thing. They leaven the dough. So, again, that is how we define seor and chametz. Now, the main examples, again, would be the starter dough, sourdough starter and leavened bread. But keep in mind, this would go beyond just leavened bread into sourdough starter. So what are some other examples of chametz? What are some other examples? Here's just a few. There's lots of examples of chametz. As we go through our cupboards, we find many, many products that have a leavening agent. And that contains what? Grain. So if we have a product, this is real simple, by the way. Real simple. If there's a product that contains grain and a leavening agent, it is what? It is chametz. It's real simple. If it has a leavening product, an agent like yeast or baking soda, and wheat or barley or any other oat or grain, it is chametz. So here we find Oreos. Everybody loves Oreos. Probably horrible for you, but we all love it. Twix. I'm not real big on Twix, but that's on the list. Grape nuts. I like grape nuts. And then you see the other items here, but these are all examples of chametz. And there's many, many more examples. And this is why as believers, it's important that we do what? It's important that before Passover, that we take the time to dig into our cupboards, to read labels, and to make sure that what we have in our homes does not contain what? Grain and a leavening agent. See, historically, we would just say a leavening agent, and that's what's changed. A leavening agent alone is not seor. It is not chametz. But once you introduce grain with that leavening agent or that product, then it becomes chametz. But prior to that introduction of that leavening agent or that grain, it is not chametz, it is not a seor. It must contain both of those items from a biblical standpoint. So We have talked a lot about leavening agents. What do we mean by leavening agents? We've gotten real good at this because, again, we always believed historically that it was just a leavening agent. We put a lot of focus on leavening agents. So I have a list of leavening agents. Maybe you can use your phones. Yeast, baking, baker's yeast, active dried yeast, baking powder, baking soda, cream of tartar, ammonium bicarbonate, potassium carbonate, potassium bicarbonate, and another one here, I'm not sure how to pronounce offhand. So lots of examples of leavening agents that we're to avoid if it has what?
Grain.
So the leavening agent, again, on its own, is not considered a seor or chametz, but the moment we introduce grain, again, whether that's wheat, mostly wheat for us, we eat mostly wheat, but barley, oats, spelt, a solid grain, that product then would be considered chametz. It would be considered a leavened product. Now, the only caveat I will say to this is yeast packets. In some cases, the yeast in that instance is produced from a yeast cake. And that yeast cake is broken down and then put into packets. Or that yeast cake would have been seor because it contains both yeast and grain. So there are some yeast packets out there that actually contains both yeast and grain. So we kind of encourage us through the yeast packets out. We just don't know. Some are fine and some aren't. But since we don't know, unless you want to do your research, but I'll throw that caveat out there because I do know some yeast packets, they do contain grain along with the yeast. Now, before closing, I want to address one more topic here, and that is grain substitutes. Grain substitutes. So examples of this would be quinoa, rice, almond, other nuts, coconut, tapioca, and sorghum. These are all considered grain substitutes. So what can we do with a grain substitute? Or we can use that grain substitute with a leavening agent, and we can produce something very closely to what we could produce with grain. And the Jews do it all the time. And they feel this is just fine. That you can take, for instance, rice flour or almond flour. You combine that with yeast, and you produce bread. And that's fine because it doesn't contain a grain. For me, this is just this is getting around the system. So even though technically does not produce grain, in our opinions, this is really in violation of the spirit of what it is. I mean, if somebody here brought a loaf of bread, I'm just telling you now, if you bring a loaf of bread and you say that's almond flour and it's big and puffy and looks just like bread, I'm going to have an issue with it. I don't want to see any almond flour or puffy bread during unleavened bread. I just don't want to see it. To me, I think this is just a getting around the system. It's a violation of this command. The whole point, now I know some will say, if you whip eggs or certain things just right, you can get that same puffiness. Well, that's fine because you're not using yeast. You're not using a leavening agent. But if you use a leavening agent with something and you get that same result as you would with grain, or you've now, in my opinion, you've crossed the line. So I would encourage everyone not to do that. And they do that. It's done a lot. In fact, my wife, she was showing me a recipe one time. I said, "Well, but there's yeast." Well, I realized later they allow this because it's a grain substitute. So as I've already mentioned, one of the reasons for removing leavening during the upcoming feast is what it represents, and that is sin. So as believers, it's important that we understand leavening, what it is, because again, it's serious business. Scripture says that if we do not remove leavening, what happens? Scripture says that if we don't remove leavening, that we're cut off. So as believers, it's really important that we understand what? It's important that we understand leavening. And again, what are the two words? Seor and chametz. So what is seor? Seor is a starter dough, and chametz is what? Any product that contains grain and a leavening agent. So anyway, I pray this has been a good review, good reminder. I hope we all understand it. It's really not complicated. It really isn't. It really is not. Now, I know this, and by the way, when we did this last year, I know the men that were in the study, and I'll point out even Michael Bannock, which has been doing this for many, many years, decades, and he never saw it. We never saw it. We never realized it until we really dug in to understand the meaning of these words. So it's so important that we study, that we search things. And that's, I guess that's the other lesson, by the way, of this feast. That's the other lesson of this feast, by the way, is believers were to use this opportunity to search these things out, to study, and to make sure that what we believe aligns with Scripture. So with that, I would wish you all a wonderful Sabbath, and may Yahweh bless you.